Redeemer.
Amen.
Today's gospel lesson ends with what is surely one of the most famous songs in history. If we've been churchgoers for any length of time, we've heard the words spoken, sung, or acted out numerous times, and with good reason. Mary's yes to God and God's plan for the world leads to the reason that we're sitting in church this morning. And we do well to pause and celebrate the woman who could say yes so completely. That yes is vitally important. But I'd like to point out something that may just slip by us. Something that I hope will make us make sense not only of the lessons and of the season, but of what has been happening recently in the world. I'd like you to notice that Mary's yes is not simply a yes. It's a song. Why do I want you to care that Mary has a song? Because Mary's song and her singing show us just how completely Mary is in tune with God and God's plan. Mary is so wholehearted about her yes that she doesn't just say it. It comes bursting out of her. Her soul rejoices so much that a simple word isn't enough. She must sing and dance for joy. And her cousin Elizabeth and the child in Elizabeth's womb sing and dance in response to Mary's song. Mary's song is not an extra. It's not an add-on. It, in fact, is the sign that her life is so God-focused and God-filled that she can't keep from singing. So this morning, this fourth Sunday of Advent, we listen to Mary's song, and we celebrate her yes and her life in tune with God. And Mary's song leads me to a question. What about us? What is our song? For we all do have a song, you know? God has touched each of our lives, or we wouldn't be here. Our hearts and minds and souls respond to that touch of God just as Mary responded. And part of our mission in life is to listen for our song and find out how it fits with the song that God wants the world to sing, and then to sing it forth passionately and devotedly. Deep inside of us is our own personal Magnificat, our hymn to God and to life, waiting to burst forth and join the angel choirs and the voices of all creation. Just as with Mary, our song reveals not only who we are, it reveals who God has called us to be. This means, of course, that all our songs are different, and our song will change through time. Our songs change as we grow in body, mind, and spirit. The harmonies can change, or we may find that some of the verses are coming out a little differently than we thought they might when we started this song. But if the song is truly our song, then it will fit together with the voices around us, even if we don't quite know how it will fit. Even if we hear others calling us, you know, your song would really fit better if you sang a little more loudly, or a little more softly, or a little more like me. Don't you think Mary heard those comments about her song? This unwed mother who dared to say she was following God's plan? I bet she did. Mary's song is not without pain and sorrow. But like Mary, we need to keep on singing, despite the naysayers, and trust that God is capable of making all our voices blend into the song that God is hearing and has in mind. Now, I know everyone does not think that she or he is a musician, and so I can imagine three objections to this idea of mine that we should go forth from this moment singing. The first objection is, but I don't have a melody. All I do is provide background music so someone else can shine. Trust me, I felt this way sometimes. I grew up in a family that ended up with six children, and so I know that feeling very well. But I don't think it's true that some people don't have a melody to sing. I believe we all do have our own tune. We just don't always know when we're the main theme and when we are meant to provide support for the singers around us. Our role changes from time to time and from place to place. And so instead of seeing ourselves as permanent backup singers, hiding in the shadow of some star performer, I suggest that we're all part of one great cosmic fugue, like the ones that Bach composed, with many, many melody lines moving in counterpoint. Sometimes it's our job to stand out, and sometimes we need to provide the setting for someone else. Or if you're more a fan of jazz than Bach, how about thinking of Dave Brubeck, one of the great American composers and jazz artists. If you're in a jazz group, the melody passes back and forth from instrument to instrument. And everyone needs to know what they can do very well indeed, so that they support the song at the right time and lead it at the right time. All the parts need to cooperate or the music gets pulled out of shape and doesn't come out the way the composer envisioned it. And the only way that cooperation happens is by the musician spending a lot of time practicing their part until it flows from them naturally and easily. And then they forget about themselves and lose themselves in the music and trust that no matter what happens, everyone will contribute when they're needed. The second objection that I hear is, but my part is so small. Three notes and that's it. How boring and unimportant. Not at all. In God's song, no one is unimportant. And both our Old Testament and New Testament readings bear this out, with little unimportant people and places suddenly becoming very important indeed. Look at Bethlehem, home of one of the little clans, off in the middle of nowhere, which becomes the birthplace of Emmanuel, God among us. And look at Mary, who was a peasant girl of no learning and no importance, also from nowhere and presumably going nowhere, whose yes made the world new. We don't know and we can't know who and what is important in God's eyes. We just need to keep the song going and trust in God to fit all the pieces together and know in our hearts that the song would be changed in any part, no matter how small is missing. The third objection is the hardest one of all to answer, and that is, I can't sing. Everything I do is out of tune, just like the rest of the world. Now, there's another feeling I think most of us are familiar with. Sometimes we know our song and we can sing it confidently. Sometimes, especially if our song is changing, we're left wondering for a while just what it is we're supposed to be singing. Sometimes we feel like we're so far out of tune that even if we do know our song, we just can't get the words out due to pain or grief or whatever it is that the world is throwing at us right now. I don't know why life works that way, and I wish it didn't. I wish that we could always be confident of our voices and our song. I wish we could always be like Mary, with a light that is a hymn to God and God's goodness. Or we could be like Elizabeth and John, who can't help harmonize to Mary's song until it's their turn to take the lead. Most of us don't have lives like that. We stumble and stutter and lose our voices and have to hope and pray that we get back in tune where God wants us to be. And sometimes, as happened last week, something so horrible happens that we feel the song is forever spoiled. And we mourn the voices that were silenced too soon. And we can't see any point in continuing the song. Trust me, I do understand those feelings. I have had times in my life where I thought I would never be able to sing again. And I know a lot of you have had those feelings too. But the world is not made better if we stop singing. Some of you know that I sing with the Long Beach Chorale. And last weekend we were scheduled to perform Bach's setting of Mary's song, the Magnificat. You can imagine how very strange and surreal it felt last Friday to be rehearsing one of the most glorious settings of Mary's song, knowing that 27 adults and children had been killed earlier that day. But Eliza, our director, tried to help us by quoting Leonard Bernstein, another great musician and composer. "This must be our response to violence, to make music more intensely, more beautifully, and more devotedly than before." Sometimes we do need to pause and let others carry the tune for a while. We need to acknowledge, if we're singing this song properly, that we will feel pain and sorrow. And those feelings will be integrated into our song if we are real, feeling human beings and not plastered saints. But we also need to know and trust that no matter what happens, no matter how horrible and out of tune life seems, God still knows and hears the song. And God wants us to sing. And God is capable of taking even our strangled and struggling sounds and turning them into something lovely. Advent is the season of expectation, of waiting, of hoping for the birth of a new and lovely creation. We have had ample evidence in the last week that such a new creation is desperately needed. And we are called as children of God to help sing that world into being along with Mary, even though our voices fail and our harmonies sometimes clash rather than harmonize. Just as we light the Advent candles to fight the darkness, we must lift our voices and sing God's melody of love to a wounded world. Whether or not we hear the whole melody with our earthly ears, whether or not we know where the song is going. So I ask you this morning and in the days to come to find your song and sing with Mary as Advent comes to a close and we enter the joyous season of Christmas. To quote from the song, "Sing a New Church," which seems particularly appropriate in the light of Mary's song and all our songs. Summoned by the God who made us, rich in our diversity, gathered in the name of Jesus, richer still in unity, let us sing the gifts that differ, and in splendid, varied ways sing a new church into being. One in faith and love and praise. May our efforts, our hopes, our dreams, and our melodies sing not only a new church, but a new world into being. the world that God wants us to build, the world that Jesus came to show us, the world that the Spirit holds cradled in her heart. Amen.
Amen.